What's going on, man? It's your boy King Jones, King Jones Consultant. When I'm back in the city, I'm locked in with my boy BJ the Best on Cab 229 Radio. Congratulations, man. 5 years in. Y'all keep bringing it how y'all bringing it, doing it how y'all doing it, and putting on for the city. All love. Peace.
Never was. Clips longer than these motherfucking bitches.
They
hold
is.
On. Clips longer than they motherfucking extensions. Hold on. These niggas know ain't no genius on no wishing. Hold on. These niggas know I don't take 10 with these bitches. Hold on. Nah, these niggas can't get that dope. Nah, nigga, you can get the bottom like the shell smoke. Nah, nigga, you ain't even want that smoke. I make niggas turn passes. Nigga, use the ashes that when the fire burns, when the fire breathes.
Okay.
Y'all know what I want.
What you
stir
want?
That mac and cheese. But I ain't getting that. I'm hustle for the green.
Don't
ain't even gon' come in between. Y'all ain't want that drama. Scrap got that llama. I'm talking llama bean. Yeah, I bean your mama.
Hit that bitch.
That's a red bean to her motherfucking potatoes. Nigga, and I let that shit go. Nigga, I got that flay
go.
There's no answer when I try to defend myself. I don't question shit no more.
I am. The GOAT.
You know.
There's no answer when I try to
defend myself. I'm a mama. Just be back there. Better household. Cool like lobster tail. We can fail, running the lost tails. Stories my mama tell. Rolling that old mode, sitting in that old school. Drinking on 4-0, bro. Understand, move. We in the fucking school. Bad as a fucking fool. Understand, we gon' do everything we can to do. The block hot too. Just like a stove top. Cooking on stuff on top. Understand, this gon' pop. They killing the game. Murder the game senseless. In this bitch, Rentless.
Trying to get my shit done. Pull up in this bitch. Show you how I got so many fucking sticks. Thought I had a wood up in my fucking back. Back up my yard. Show you how I scarred. Cross my eyelids. Show you how I been. Praying for my men. Ain't fucking man. One more time for you, nigga.
There's no answer.
That's when I thought you left me.
Which I did.
No, I thought you left for good.
Okay, bitch, I didn't.
You
did.
Special forces. Oh, yeah, that's my baby daddy. Yeah, bitch. Okay, that's his second marriage. Yeah, 82nd Airborne. Fuck around. I did not say 22 was getting together. That was the third marriage. I told you that. I said he was 22, I was 45. I told you that. Excuse me? I said he was 22, I was 45. I told you that. Excuse me?
He said how that happened.
I was in Houston, Texas.
I'm depressed and I'm a son. Just grabbed it, got my master's.
They turned up a little.
Yeah, she likes me.
When I went over there, I told you, and the bitches.
Because he didn't end the fucking relationship, man. Ass like a pig.
I just want to make sure I'm parking in front with 62 SEXXXY. Number two, in front.
Okay.
Because I asked that bitch in there. I just want to make sure you ain't at the car. My car, that's why I parked in front, not the side. Not trust this bitch.
She's not going to get a rolling pin. 100. I was like, I can't hold it.
I'm
not going to be on. She could have paid me. I just want to get away and chill.
I bitch, I just wanted us to get...
hot and relaxed like we doing now.
Cry me a river.
I fucked up. See, the bitch out
here. Kill devil, heal
the
accent.
Yeah.
I don't give a
fuck.
Man.
Okay, you know that.
I'm like, I'm like, that's what the bitch is doing.
My bad, bitch.
Remarkably, you ask God to have mercy on them. Then they turn to Ethiopians and El Ponder, even her with black bags, her belt, fists, and open palms. They really want us to make me say, yes, sir, that is the one thing I would say. The men carried Miss Hamer to a cell with two other black prisoners and ordered one to give her with a black bag. She pleaded with them. You mean you would do this to your own race? When one prisoner became too exhausted to continue beating her, another one was forced to take over. The detainer called the violence the most horrifying experience I've ever had in my life. Later, when the men were gone, the jailer's wife brought cold water to the detainer's cell. She told me she tried to live a Christian life in her, and I told her to read the 26th chapter of Proverbs and the 26th verse, and she was taking it down on paper. She never did come back after that. I couldn't sum it up anymore. Like Keen, like Mr. Minor, I too have experienced police brutality to the extent that I don't even want to spend here and talk about it. So again, that's what I feel. I feel blessed, and it's just another unfortunate incident that we're going to have to deal with throughout the rest of the history of the country.
Thank you, panelists. Oh, I'm sorry. This glass, I didn't mean to cut in front of you. Go ahead. If you can hear me, Ms. Glass, if you had any thoughts on the video. Yes, Ms. Glass,
yes,
you,
yes.
You want to see if you have...
Thank you.
Yeah.
When I saw what was going on again, I was beyond disgusted. How I got involved in doing this film and also trying to do something myself about what's going on, I'm sick and tired of just constantly hearing about these cases. So as a black female judge, I said, well, why don't I just volunteer myself to the police department here in Los Angeles, the LAPD, and teach them about body language. And as I was giving the lecture, I thought, this is bigger than me. This is bigger than body language. That we need a team to do this. This is about systemic racism. This is about some mentally ill people that are in the police force. This is about not recognizing people that have maybe mental illness. This is about people that can't control their physiology, their breathing. This is about people that don't know how to talk to people. So I came up with a whole training program and enrolled about 10 other professionals. Some of them were police officers who had been involved in body language and gang body language, etc. I enrolled forensic psychologists who actually worked with psychologists. I worked with psychologists that helped screen out there were people who would potentially be in the police force who had no business being there. People who were into verbal judo, who were into teaching about physiology of breathing and controlling yourself. So, and Bill Bradley, who was kind of a police officer's police, he was a commissioner in Los Angeles and New York, and he participated in this as well. And so we came up with a whole system that every police officer needs to see and needs to employ in order for this to happen. And we do need to screen out police officers that have no business being there. And that's really what we saw on this latest situation. One of the things we did also in the film is we took all the major cases from Sandra Bland to Eric Garner to all of the major cases we've seen, Eric Schaefer, and we have these professionals discuss what could have been done, you know, what was done wrong and what could have been done. And there's so much that could have been done.
thank you, Mr. Glass, and all of our panelists. Kevin, that was when you were sharing, that was about Fannie Lou Hamer. And, you know, I thought about her, and I heard Mr. Glass say, when you get sick and tired, and Fannie Lou Hamer is known for saying, he's sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
But, even after she said that, she kept striving for that. So that's a message for us all. Okay, so you heard the thoughts of the panelists up here. We want to open it up to you. If you have a question or comment, a question for any of the panelists, or you just want to talk about what are your thoughts about this video. Keen has a microphone set up. So don't all go at once. But we would want to hear. We want to hear from the community. This is a community discussion. So what are your thoughts on what you hear?
Hi everybody, I'm Seth Everett. I'm a native here from Fayetteville. I'm the one who designed this little sheet that is in everybody's seats. I'm also a community activist. So when I initially saw this video, it was obviously very hard and difficult to watch. I remember just crying literally all night. Because what you see in that video is just a lack of humanity. And it's obviously disgusting. And like many of the panelists have mentioned up here, this is what the police is trained to do. It is the system. It is a system that was built to round up slaves. And it is a system that is continuing to do that, just in a different format, you know. These days, it's low-level crimes. It's crimes that are associated with poverty, crimes that are associated with homelessness and broken homes and the war on drugs. And we can't reform this. This is not a system that can be reformed because it's how the system was built. That's my thoughts. And just wanted to again mention the little flyers you'll have in your sheet, in your seats. There's a QR code if you guys want to join our movement to try to implement an office of community safety here in Fayetteville.
It's a new system right there.
It is a system that a lot of other cities are turning to because of police brutality. And we have a lot of great examples that you guys can read about and do your own research and form your own opinions about. And yeah, thank you.
Hi, y'all doing? My name is BJ DeBiz. I drive a cab for Fayetteville, North Carolina. I think we need to focus on our business because at the end of the day, we don't got no help between, like,
let's speak directly to the mic.
We don't got no help in between growing. You know what I'm saying? There's a big gap between you starting something and somebody who already did. And most of these problems deal with we ain't got no money. So we need to get our business up. Do what we need to do, handle our business. And then we just change some ratios. More business. Let's see what we can do. We'll get our money up and then come back to all this. Ain't gonna keep happening. Keep happening, keep happening, keep happening. So we ain't doing what we need to do at the table. So what we need to do. Appreciate it.
Okay, my name is Carrie Jackson, and I am a resident of Fayetteville for the past 3 years. And the last two people, they just said that the problem keeps happening. Our panelists have spoken about systemic racism. And so first you have to understand, you know, that it is a systemic issue. What makes it systemic? It's systemic because of legislation that was put in place on the books a long, long, long time ago. Now, when I made a post, like at first I didn't even know about Tyree Nichols. One of my friends, they were like, well, you know, they're talking about this this video. They're kind of scared to get it released because of how graphic the video is. They're saying that it's worse than the Rodney King video. And I was like, wow, worse than Rodney King. It's 2023, you know? So that was something that took me back. So when I made my post was, everybody is so up in arms about changing the name of Fort Bragg to Fort Liberty and bringing down all of these monuments and everything because of the historical representation or historical racist negative viewpoint that is there. To me, it's just another take on erasing history, because the thing is that as a people, and I'm speaking as like a black people, and even as Americans, there's a lot of our history that has been washed away, hidden, it has been written over. So I'm not for, you know, the whole renaming of faces and monuments. Okay, I know, I'm not gonna... Okay, thank you. So, and I know I need to hurry up. However, it goes back to the legislation. If we change the laws on the books, then you can change, and we hold the, not only change the laws on the books, but hold the people accountable, hold the elected officials accountable for what they are supposed to do, hold the police accountable. You can ride along with the police officers, you can ride along with the sheriffs, you can be active in the community. That's what it takes. It takes an active involvement in order for you to affect change. Your vote does count. Your vote is very important. And you have to hold those officials accountable. When on my post, I talked about on how like everybody's so, you know, worried about the changing of the post, but nobody is worried about, okay, well, you know, I had mentioned about the girl, and I can't remember her name, but the girl that had the mental issue here in Fayetteville. Jada Johnson, here in Fayetteville, and it took over 4 hours for that to be resolved, and it ended in her death. It ended in her having 2 bullets shot to her head and some more bullets right in front of her kids and her grandparents. And it was a mental health crisis. They had called the ambulance, so why didn't she go to get her mental health help? And the thing is, guess what? In 2022 or 2021, North Carolina legislation did pass a House bill where it required mental health to be there. It required our law enforcement to have the mental health. I'm sorry, I'm getting ready to stop. I'm stopping.
We're out with pleasure.
Okay, so what are we holding them accountable? And what are we doing to make sure that those house rules are actually in effect here in our town?
Okay, my name is Daquan White. I'm 24 years old, and I'm a part of the nonprofit organization in Southern CC with Tony Brown. I know they asked the question of why we feel like this keeps happening. I feel like the police have a strong sense of entitlement when they approach you. They have a strong sense of entitlement to your life. They feel as if they don't like the way you interact with them or the way the situation goes. Even if you're being nonviolent towards them, that taking your life is something that seems feasible to them, it seems sensible, that's a sensible answer. You should walk away from a traffic violation or a traffic stop with your life no longer here. And we need to stop that. But I also believe that comes from us having to learn how to police ourselves, accountability, like you were speaking on, and getting our business and stuff right. We have to get our business right because we need the funds and resources to be able to fight back and be able to stand on our own and do our own thing. Because we can do our own thing, like you said it out there, it's not gonna stop. It's not gonna stop. The legislation they already have in place is designed for us. Like you said, you're not surprised. This is already something that you expect to happen. So we know this is already gonna happen. We sit here and we have these conversations. But when we leave here a lot of times, we don't do anything. We have talks, but we never implement anything and put anything in place correctly the way it should be put into place. Like I read this pamphlet that you put together. I like it. I like the programs you're trying to do. I think that things like that can really affect the community, but we have to come together and we have to band together and we have to utilize our resources collectively in order to make those things happen. So that comes with us getting our business straight. When we get our business straight and we come together, then we'll have funds, we'll have resources, and we'll be able to implement certain things to have a voice, to have a change, because we already know what moves the people at the top is money. Once you start messing with them financially, because you can do all this stuff, all this complaining, all this rioting, all this protesting, going downtown and burning stuff, doing things. You see that nothing really happens, and still we start talking about money. So we have the money already in our community. We need to take that money and focus it and realign it to something different, not buying a whole bunch of stuff that we don't need unnecessarily. Yes, you can spend your money, but you also need to be invested in the community. So that's my take that's my take on everything. Like, we have to come together. We have to show up and support each other. Like, we have a community garden off of Murkison Road, and I think that a lot of faces that I've seen in here, I've not seen in that room. It's not a personal attack. Maybe y'all didn't know about it, but if we show up and we come together as a collective, then we can show everybody unity. We can show them what we want, because they have to do what we want down there, down there at the office. Because we are the community. We tell them what we want, but if we're not coming together with a collective vote and a collective voice, they're not going to hear us. So I want you guys to take this when you leave here, come together, network with somebody beside you, exchange numbers, exchange phone numbers. We need to talk. We need to talk outside of this. Not only when they get together and decide to organize something, we need to come to them with ideas already on the board, already on the table. So once we do that, then we can actually get somewhere. All
right. Amen.
Shannon Drummond, here with my lovely wife. Man, powerful. Where did your brother go? Yeah, let me get your face. Boom. Okay, yeah. Man, that was powerful. Yeah, and I'm not here to follow that up or top that or anything. I'm just here as a sign of support for the community. I've been on both sides of the jail cell, so to say. So I definitely qualify to speak on this matter with this young man. I've seen it, and again, I'm pretty sure just like everybody else, you know, you get that rage, you get that disappointment. But also for me, it energized me to come out and do something. I don't want to just speak about it. Let's be about it. Just a man. You really encouraged me, young man. That's why I'm here out here today with my wife as a sign of solidarity that, you know, we want to see who else says that they want to do something. But then also we need to see you at the gardens. We need to see you involved with these men up here and women. to do something by this community. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate the team putting this together. And we will definitely be doing more going forward to make sure that it doesn't happen. Real quick, too. And also, I agree with the young man. There does need to be reform, but also we need to take accountability for our own communities. You know, why is it that when young black kids are killed or minorities are killed by police officers, then we want to get up a job? But they're doing it every day, right down the street from your neighborhood, if you don't live in the same neighborhood. So let's get there, although I do believe we still need police reform, but let's start in our own community, take accountability for what we're doing, you know, each one teach one, and we all grow together. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to make a quick comment. My name is Dorrance Kennedy. I teach social work at Fayetteville State University. I see some of my students in the house. I appreciate you, some of my colleagues. I just wanted to share that I think that this is also a mental and a spiritual struggle. I remember Stephen Biko, the anti-apartheid activist, said that the greatest weapon of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. So I love Black history. This is one of my favorite times of the year. We don't know our history. And what I'm afraid of, my mother's 82 years old, and right now in the Black community, we still have living history amongst us. We don't know our history now, and when my mother and her peers pass away, and that living history is no longer amongst us, where are we gonna be? We don't know our history. Obviously, the men in Memphis didn't know their history. You're killing your brother in the city where MLK was assassinated. 1 week from the King holiday, so close to Black History Month. One of the officers' name is Emmett, the whole Emmett Till thing. Tyree Nichols' stepfather is named Rodney, the whole Rodney King thing. You don't know your history. We don't know our history. And because we don't know our history, like Carter G. Woodson said, we are in the position that we are in because we have not studied our history. So I could go on a long time, but I'm going to wrap it up. As I tell my students at Fayetteville State, beware of the CIA. The C stands for being cynical. When we start to believe that nothing can and will change, we're in a bad mental space. We have had tough times before and found a way to overcome it. But when we get cynical, particularly our young people, when we get cynical, we have already lost the battle. Ignorant, we have to know what's going on. We have to read. Technology is wonderful, but like somebody said, in today's society, we have Google Brain. You can look it up on Google and YouTube, which is not the same thing as reading and studying. And the A stands for apathy. We talk a good game, but if we are not really concerned about the community like we should be. So one thing that we can do right now, in spite of what the police is doing, in our homes, our communities, we can get together with our young people and we can practice what you should do when you get stopped by the police. It's not a guarantee that you will be safe, but you will increase your chances of going home in one piece. So as somebody else said, we have to do a better job of policing ourselves, and this is also a mental and spiritual struggle. Thank you.
Okay, we will have time for more public comment, so hold on to your thoughts. Let's kick off this next segment here. Thanks to all those who spoke. Always learn listening to others. That's why you got to listen to others, because you learn. I did not know all the connections. Even the officer being named Emmett is just something else. As Troy pointed out in his column, the funeral for Tyree Nichols was on February 1st, first day of Black History Month. So you couldn't get a more powerful symbol of how far we still have to go. So it was touched on by some of the previous speakers, this issue of the officers, five of the officers being African-American and doing this to an African-American man. So the question we're going to get our panelists to address is, did race affect the implementation of justice in the Tyree Nichols case? So that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to go in the reverse order with the panel this time. I'm going to start with you, Ms. Glass, and then come from Kevin Brooks the other way. So did race... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think that in many of the cases, race is an issue, a big issue, systemic racism. There's no question about it. In this particular case, it kind of reminded me of being daughter of two Holocaust survivors, I could see where this was similar, where other Jewish people beat the heck out of other Jewish people and were kind of as bad or worse than the Nazis. So it's kind of like a combo mentality that went on here that I see in Tyrese's case. So it was a very similar repeat of history for me, and it was very sickening. And somebody in the audience mentioned the lack of humanity. That's where we really need to start, with the spirituality, the humanity of human beings. That we're all the same, we're all human beings, and we're all made out of the same material, and have love and have sensitivities. And that needs to be really at the forefront. And I think that you know, it's not a surprise that these four gentlemen that killed Tyrese were of that, as I said, combo mentality. And so, you know, it is a form of racism. And it's very devastating. It's devastating. And look at all the cases, especially that we analyze. There's no question that there is a racial component. There is absolutely no question. And, you know, this has to be addressed with every police.
I want you right now. I want Child's future, save money, call me. Save money on healthcare, ask me how. Got teeth, wear glasses, ask me, save money on these services. Save on most brands, name, and most genetic prescription drugs. Call me for information. Back 8, fill initial consultation, save money on treatment, ask me how. Save on dental, instant saving, no age limit, no paperwork, no wait, call for information. Man, we can get you all the discounts you need. Link is in the bio. If you want to start a business as well, link is in the bio. Have a great day.